The opinions expressed in Reality Rangers are individual and not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
What is up, listeners? It's Malik.
And Andrew.
And welcome back to episode 5 of
Reality Rangers.
It is our second to last Spirit Live episode, and time flies.
Yeah, and might I just say, wow, this season is, oh my God.
This is going so well for us to cover because it's almost too good because we have so much to cover that we don't know if it's all going to fit in one episode.
I feel like a kid in a candy store. I can't buy everything and I'm like panicking trying to figure out what to buy.
I'm going to have like a sugar rush.
I've got $5 in a dream.
Exactly. So let's just get right into it because we don't have much time to spare to dilly dally.
We have to.
So yeah, we start off at the breakfast and the first few people in are, you know, your Lizettes, your Cocos, and we have a little segment where Lizette tries to predict who gets murdered. She's like, oh, Meredith is going to get murdered to draw sus on me because I'm the main character of the season.
I mean, I think in a world she could have been, but it's a little bit of a dodo edit. But I think, I mean,
it's a fun rivalry. We love rivalries.
We love a rivalry. I'm still confused, like, where the line is on reality and like what's actually, you know, it's a little bizarre, but like it's
there's
still
definitely some required watching on their respective social medias,
Lizette
and Meredith.
How long do we think that beef will go on for? Like post-season?
Maybe the whole season, or maybe, you know, until next season. They're going to be two returnee captains.
They're going to do an all rivals season.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. But Coco really likes this rivalry because she thinks faithfuls being mad at each other and beefing with each other is always a good thing. It distracts them, which is true. We see that a lot this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, a couple notable breakfast moments were, you know, Venus coming in and, you know, giving not her best performance.
Yeah, it was probably her first like fumble this season where people were like, that was off. But, you know, it wasn't a big thing where like anyone was immediately suspicious of her because of it.
I mean, there's people who are already suspicious of her, such as like Hollywood and especially Sarah Nicole. We'll see Sarah Nicole is really hounding her down this episode, who just, you know, already had a little, you know, red flag with her. And, you know, this only augmented it. And yeah, we see Sarah Nicole talking to Thompson saying, oh, go in the hallway and check those paintings. I think they've got something to do with the challenges, like enlisting him. And she talks about in her confessional how she thinks Thompson is an asset to the team and thinks, oh, he's one of the best faithfuls. He's really smart, just like how Dom is really strong. And we should really keep him around.
Yeah. Thompson is just immediately like, he's very prominent in this episode as being the faithful, like the face of, not the face of the faithfuls.
I mean,
but
that
like,
sounds good.
Yeah. He's the face of the faithfuls, but like, I feel like he hasn't earned that title just because he's still kind of like nothing.
He's one
burger.
Of the boring.
He's one of the boring.
As Coco says.
It's classic.
It's classic. So the last person to come in is Shaughnessy, which means Kin Caboodle has been put down.
Yeah, at first I do feel like I was shocked, but thinking about it more, it's like they would have had a lot more screen time than they ended up having if they had lasted longer. Like, they seem like a very fun character. Everyone talks about how much they loved Kitten, so I guess it makes sense, but
I am
disappointed.
If people are singing your praises, they will soon be singing at your funeral.
Exactly.
In the Traitors. All right, so after the breakfast, we see a little convo between Omer and Venus, and he once again clocks another traitor. He says that he thinks Coco is a traitor. And Venus, you know, responds, kind of adding fuel to the fire, saying, oh, yeah, I just learned that she's a 2-time Big Brother finalist.
It's very clear that Omer has very, like, easily figured out what's going on. Like, he knows Kevin's a traitor, and he knows because Kevin wants to get Coco out, and he's so adamant that it needs to be in such a deliberate way. Yeah, Coco's the other traitor. And so I think he confides in Venus just because of the fact that, like, you know, two gamers. Venus is probably not. But, like, I think Omar's smart enough where, like, he can focus on the other two. And then eventually he'll realize, yeah, Venus is a traitor too.
Because statistically speaking, she probably shouldn't be a traitor.
But she was recruited,
she
so was it recruited. Wasn't statistics.
Yeah, it's out of the ordinary. Now we see a quick little snippet, another Meredith Shala moment. And, you know, there's some distrust brewing, some tension. It's very disheartening to see. That's the kind of thing where it's like, we didn't see this as much with Nick and Kira last season because there's a different dynamic with siblings than with partners, but it would be so hard to be right. on a show with your partner and not be able to fully trust them.
I think it is a little bit like, I feel really bad for them. It's like, how can you fully trust someone if there's a chance that there's a traitor? So right. it's like, you just feel like, I feel like regardless, you're going to feel a little bit betrayed.
Yeah.
It also makes me curious, like, if Traitor starts to get, like, the format of all of these different, you know, countries, seasons, if it starts to get a little stale and they start, like, switching up the format, like, the way Survivor does, like, what would a blood versus water Traitors look
like? Right. You know, everyone has to look at their loved one and say, are you lying to me? You know?
I think, I was thinking about that yesterday. Like, it's, it would be really cool to see Traitors start doing more with, like, the cast.
Like, themed or like cast.
Yeah. If you've seen Escape the Night, like, how they could do, like, a Traitors-themed season, you know, 70s, like, detective okay. theme in the castle.
That would
or, like,
be fun.
I think that could be fun just to, like, switch it up after
we
a while.
We need Anna Wintour in the castle. Little Met Gala vibes. Yeah, we see a little conversation with Sarah Nicole and Kevin where Venus starts to get a little heat on her.
Yes. I feel like I feel bad about it because we see the two of them talking and Venus mentions how like Kevin is playing way too much into this conversation with Sarah Nicole and he needs to like tone it down because he's just doing too much as a traitor. And I think that's just in his big brother blood because like
yeah.
he just assumes or like he's under the like guise that he'll have a full week to, you know, forgive later and play now.
Right. But whereas you can't get big move itis.
Yeah, you
in
only
traitors.
Have like 3 weeks total. You can't be playing like this sloppy this whole time.
You
don't have time to recover.
You've gotta be methodical about stuff. And yeah, Sarah Nicole has some sus on Venus. Kevin kind of, you know, defends her a little bit, says, you know, wait for more evidence. But, you know, Kevin is pushing Coco in that conversation yes. a little bit. And, you know, Venus in her confessional says, hey, I think it's a little too soon. Maybe wait a couple round tables.
Yeah, and Venus is right.
She is right.
I like Coco is so oblivious to it as well, where she wants Kevin to be her primary focus as a duo rather than Venus, who
she's indebted to her.
Yeah. And Kevin just has no, like, it makes sense from Coco's perspective because Kevin has no reason to do this. His revenge is for getting rid of Ty, who Kevin wanted just so that he could kill Ty at the banishment.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's this weird traitor triangle where it's like they all want to work with the person that doesn't want to work yeah. with them. It's kind of weird.
It's very bizarre.
And, you know, before the challenge, we see our I call them the boring boys because they were both put in the grave by Coco. and it's Jericho and Thompson, mm-hmm. and they're looking at paintings in the hallway to try and deduce what today's mission is going to be.
It was the first time in the episode we really saw Jericho. And I think Jericho did have a good episode. Like, this is kind of, he kind of clocked it would be a chess challenge. And then later he started, like, clocking who the traitors were. He was, like, he was doing well, but he's still a boring at the end of the day. Like,
he's coming into his own, but not in a way that's as entertaining as, you know, watching a Hollywood
yeah,
or,
yeah,
you know,
course.
A Rhea or
and
something.
And no one can, not everyone can be in a Hollywood. A Hollywood's a one-of-a-kind person.
Exactly. And like everyone says, only like 1% of people make it to Hollywood. Only 1% of people can make it like Hollywood.
Exactly.
So yeah, let's get to that mission. It's a chess-themed mission. A little similar to what we saw in other seasons, like the UK and the US, but this time the traitors got to divide all the remaining players up into a group of faithful appearing people and traitor appearing people in black and white, like the chess pieces. And basically the challenge was truth and lie. You had to guess if the person reading a statement was telling the truth or lying about themselves.
So these two teams, each person goes up. And one of them will read a statement that's either true or false about themselves, and the other person has to guess if they're lying. And if they're correct, they get to eliminate that person. And if they're wrong,
they get eliminated.
Yeah, they get eliminated. So the whole scenario, it's not super like in depth in a way that would like reveal a traitor.
It's more
so like am I a DJ? Yes or no?
Do I like skydiving?
Yeah.
Did I know how to tie my shoes before I was 18? Omar, I feel you. I had that same issue. Maybe not until 18, but...
I did too. I wore Velcro for so long.
I was
long.
A Velcro
And then when
warrior.
I switched to, laces, I would just stuff the laces in my shoes because my shoes would not fall off my feet if I didn't tie
right.
them.
You know, we don't have to tie. We just gotta, you know, think smarter, not harder.
Right. I feel like it was really easy to deduce if they were lying or not, just because all of the truths were really specific and all of the lies were like, I did something crazy online. And
it's nondescript. I was on the news.
Yeah, like it's so nondescript in a way where it's like they just didn't try and make like they tried to make it believable for every single person. So that they didn't have to make a specific lie that sounded believable for everyone.
Right. A couple notable moments from this challenge, you know, some of the faithfuls being on the traitor side and thinking, why am I here? And then, you know, you had Coco being on the faithful side and some people, you know, maybe raising an eyebrow at that. Because, you know, you gotta think, of course, a traitor would try to put themselves on the faithful side to clear their mm-hmm. name. And that's what Coco did. And at the end, 5 people remained on the traitor's team, that being Kevin and Venus, who got shields. And then Kara, Meredith, and Omer also got shields. And with each eliminated person, there was $1,000, I think, added to the prize pot.
Yeah.
Which resulted for a total of $11,000.
Probably the most they've made in a challenge so far.
Really?
They had to, throw them a bone. Well, the first few, they only made, 4,000 each.
Okay, maybe not as modest. I was wrong.
They had to throw them a bone at some point. They were kind of screwing up. But,
yeah.
You know, they really were not making money in the first few episodes.
Yeah, honestly, I don't watch the traders to see how they... I low-key don't know what the prize pot is until they remind me.
Exactly.
It's really not about the money. It's about the treachery.
It's about the traders we make along the way.
Exactly. So post-mission, we have a little bit of discussions to have. You know what's good when... there's more than half the episode left after the mission. That's always good. Shala and Lizette try to sort things out. They kind of get on better terms, but Shala is still sus of Lizette. Then we have Thompson and Jericho talking. Jericho thinks that Coco is a traitor, but Thompson wants to take a shot at Rhea.
Yes. And so there's a lot of conflict with Rhea where... I feel like it doesn't feel fully justified, but they start talking about how she has an acting background and how she can probably, cry on command.
Comes out of nowhere.
And, they have much better suspicion on other people, so I don't understand why they focus on Rhea for a little bit, but maybe it was just a decoy because we start to see... more of a focus on actual traitors.
Yeah,
being
Kevin.
The targets.
Kevin talks with Jericho and Hollywood for a little bit, and once Jericho even slightly floats Coco's name, he perks up. Oh, this is my shot. This is my chance. And he is like, oh my gosh, yes. And this was sus. And she did that. And the boat and Ty and Asphere. And he just gets this traitor frenzy going on. And, you know, he runs off and he tells him, don't tell anyone I was in this conversation. And this sets off alarm bells for Hollywood and Jericho.
He gets way too big for his britches. He's going on and on and on. And he's like, he's got this motor mouth. He just won't stop. And then he's like, I gotta get out of here. And you can tell, he, you know, that once that switch was flicked, he's in, game mode. He's like, you can't tell people I was here. And so he goes to talk to,
Meredith,
and then he talked to Venus briefly.
Who did not support this movement.
Venus was like, it's way too, because, this was right before the banishment, so... you know, there was so much going on and he was flying around the room. He was really bouncing off the walls.
He did himself no favors with how he carried himself, and especially so at the round table. We see him start off firing at all cylinders. Shaughnessy tries to talk and he's like, no.
Yeah. He gives all of his information all in one go. And that's, I think, his biggest flaw in the way he presents himself. Because he just got too excited and he's just like, yeah, and then this happened and then that, and if you remember that, and you know, and he just doesn't have anything else to say when people ask him questions because he put everything on the table in a way where why would you remember all of that unless you're a traitor and know who the other traitors are? So you're looking to see what they're doing that you can
pick
up on. Like why would you remember 30 different things when I can't remember who
got murdered last episode?
I don't
remember who's that?
Shaughnessy ever being in the episode up until, you know, like, that's not true. But even still.
But
like,
still, yeah.
There's people that you don't remember, and suddenly Kevin knows 30 things about Coco.
I think that's his like super hyper gamer side, and he took a big swing and a big miss because he was doing this thing where he was like metagaming it. He was talking about past seasons like, oh, if Netta was a really good trader from Big Brother, they wouldn't pick another really good Big Brother player like myself, which, okay, toot your own horn much. Like, but that makes no sense.
That makes no sense, especially because part of his argument was the fact that Coco is a two-time Big Brother finalist,
who's
and so
also,
she's dangerous.
Right, like, so it's literally hypocritical. Oh, they wouldn't pick another Big Brother big player, so they picked a Quebec Big Brother big player. Like, that makes no sense.
And I think the thing that really sealed the deal against him was the fact that he said something along the lines of, like, if it's not her, you can vote me next episode. And I think that is the biggest fault of every trader, because they always say that. And it makes it so obvious that, like, because they know that they're right if the vote goes their way, then obviously they can just say that and not have to worry about anything.
Right? Like, okay, we're going to grant you automatic immunity because you got a traitor right because you had the facts?
Right. Like,
no!
They only say that because they know that they can make that promise without, you know, breaking anything.
Yeah, is that a hard claim? I don't watch Blood on the Clock Tower.
I don't know.
He's claiming facts as solidified, but if you're faithful, you don't know anything for certain. And I think, you know, he's doing this metagaming. People like Kara, like a housewife, are not going to be receptive to this big, like, gamer. You got to go in with, you know, some method to the madness. And he had no method to his madness. And that just resulted in him getting banished.
It's really disappointing because he had so much method to his madness during Big Brother, where you always like knew exactly why he was doing something in such a deliberate way. And here, I think this is the Big Brother, like, if you're the best Big Brother player of your respective franchise, you're doomed on the traitors. Like, Dan did this exact same thing, except a lot more low-key. Like, Kevin had a much better social game than Dan. However, Dan wasn't as manic, and so I think they both even out into being detrimental players to their own selves.
I guess there's also a kind of pattern where it's like, if you're the best to never win, if you're a woman who's the best to never win on your respective season, you go pretty far as a traitor, because Danielle Reyes made it very far, and Netta won her season.
And Ceri.
But yeah, the best to never wins do well. The winner...
Does that mean Coco?
Does that mean Coco? Or does that mean Venus wins?
I mean,
she's
if we're going
not
back
the best
to if we're going,
win,
no,
but...
you know what? Hot take. She is.
She is. She just got stuck with Q and Liz and Ben and all of them.
I'm pissed.
I'm pissed. This is gonna be me if Venus ever gets banished. Yeah, I'm gonna crash out.
I just wish I could have been. I wanted to play with Venus. That was my season.
That was literally my season, and I would have protected her with my life. Like, I'm so sorry. I would have given her that shield. So for after the vote, we get a lot of, you know, oh my gosh, we got our first trader, 10K added to the pot.
Oh yeah, we should say Kevin did go.
Yeah,
there was a few other moments where, like, it was Thompson versus Rhea. There was that whole thing. But it was very obvious Kevin went.
Yeah, there was a couple offshoots that, you know, distracted people from the main goal.
There was a lot of offshoot votes I wasn't expecting.
There was, you know, the Lizette versus Shala. You had the Rhea and the Thompson that Rhea defended herself well with a little bit of humor.
There was Shaughnessy and Venus.
Shaughnessy and Venus. But none of that amounted to anything because Kevin went out over Coco. But after the vote, there's still some eyes on Coco now.
Yes.
Because, as Omer puts it, this is screaming traitor versus traitor.
Yeah. And as, like, we've mentioned it multiple times this episode already, but, like, because he said something along the lines of, like, if I'm wrong, banish me, it makes it obvious Coco is, you know, this other traitor because he's so, like, if
why
you
would
were
he
a faithful,
say that?
Yeah, if you were a traitor and you voted out a faithful, like,
you're
just
signing
your
death wish.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it just makes no sense. So Omer clocks that easily. I think, you know, I can't tell if he wants Coco to be his new traitor angel or if he wants to fulfill Kevin's wishes.
Right, because it seems like an avenging kind of thing, because from the previews, it looks like the next big roundtable battle is going to be between Omer and Coco.
Right.
But yeah, after the round table, we see a little bit of chatter about it being Coco. And then we get this weird, another twist, which basically everyone got blindfolded. It was kind of freaky. They got moved to the graveyard, and Venus and Coco basically did real life Tinder. They swiped left and right on a bunch of faithfuls, and they were like, who do we want to either murder or recruit? And they ended up on a cliffhanger with Thompson.
Yeah, Thompson felt like a bizarre pick to me, where like, they're trying to put it on a cliffhanger of, like, are they going to recruit Thompson or are they going to kill him? But it just feels really obvious that they're just going to kill Thompson.
They should.
It makes sense. Like, it makes no sense to recruit Thompson, even though Thompson's pleading for his life. He's probably just going to end up being banishment fodder.
Right. And if he's banishment fodder, that would be horrible, because you don't want another man to go that only raises the statistics of it being a woman higher and higher. And then people are going to start looking at you eventually.
Yeah. Especially this cast, like, loves metagaming. They're trying to find any way that they can metagame, whether it's like, you know, Asphyr just would be a really good trader. Like, he would be entertaining, or like, you know, based on gender or whatever. Like,
and then so, you know, if whether he gets murdered or recruited, this is going to create a weird dynamic with Rhea, because Rhea was looking to maybe form like a secret bond with him. So either he dies and she loses that ally, or he's a traitor and he could become a traitor angel for her.
Yeah.
Mr. Paintings. Hey, Mr. DJ.
Mr. DJ.
Please don't stop the music, but we're going to have to stop talking about the traitors, because we're running a little short on time. Do we want to do just a quick 30 each on last night's Survivor episode?
A true Survivor minute, 30 seconds each.
Yeah, just cumulative. 3, 2, 1, go.
All right. This episode was really entertaining. They split the merge into two different tribes. I thought the idea that if they were going to do that, the winner of the challenge getting to go there and, like, you know, interact with the losing tribe was really cool. Rizzo and Savannah really turned the game around in their favor, and I'm, like, very impressed. Every single dynamic between, like, each person was so bizarre that they, like, it just pitter-pattered, you know, one person to another, and then back to the original person. Crazy tribal. I had so much fun.
Yeah, so, okay, as for this episode, I think, you know, I really thought Sophie was a goner when she lost that immunity.
Yeah.
I thought she didn't have the right relations, but MC shot herself in the foot by going and running to tell Jawan. I think I understand where she's coming from the perspective of, oh, I want to regain that trust that was lost, but at the end of the day, it cost her the game. I'm surprised Sophie is still here with the purple edit she's getting.
Yeah.
And, Nate without a beard. Kind of weird.
That was shocking. He looked like the driving crooner from I Think You Should Leave.
Yeah.
That really shocked me.
It was like when she went to grab those keys last episode, I was like, Savannah, slow down.
I love her. I love that she's playing so hard. I think she is one of the best casting we've seen in a while.
Amazing casting.
I think she needed that like knockdown so that she can be like an entertaining dominant player while still having like while still being villainous and having a hint of humility, because she was she was getting real big with herself.
I hate when people say, oh, they need to be knocked down a peg, but I think being knocked down a peg in a certain way helps you as a player, like getting that kind of humble pie.
I wanted her to do well because she learned. I didn't want her to get knocked down a peg because she was being too cocky. I love a cocky player. I think they're entertaining. You know, since the traitor went home, of the faithfuls, who do you think is doing the best right now? Give me a top three.
Top three, I'm going to say Hollywood, Jericho, and Jamal.
I think that's a good list. I would say Omer up there as well.
Oh, I forget. Literally, Omer, I think of him as like an honorary traitor. And then maybe I would, okay, this is like at five at this point, I'd throw in Sarah Nicole. Sarah Nicole's going to be a big threat for Venus.
I think my three would be Omer, Sarah Nicole, and Jade, Jamal, and Jericho. I think all of them are doing very
well.
Triple J. All five of them are definitely doing the best. I think if the faithful is going to win, it's going to be one of them.
I think, I think Jericho has a good edit. I think Jade's not long for the game. I think they're going to have to take him out.
Jamal, I don't see going super far. He hasn't had the greatest edit. Sarah Nicole, I think, will have a big edit, and same with Omer, but yeah. He's had one.
Right.
Anyway.
That's all for today's episode. We're so glad you listened, and we hope you join us for our Spirit Life finale next week. But yeah, there will be more episodes. Don't worry. There will definitely be more episodes after this. We'll try. And yeah, we're going to continue our coverage of The Traitors Canada Season 3 and Survivor 49. And definitely next season, you're going to want to tune in for our coverage of Survivor 50.
Survivor 50. I'm so excited to talk about it.
It's going to be so fun. So yeah, have a good week, everyone.
Bye. Bye.